What happens when a survivor of narcissistic abuse heals and then gets into a new relationship? That question was asked by one of our fellow survivors, and that's exactly what we're going to talk about today at queenbeing.com, the types of issues that survivors of abuse face in new relationships. So let's get started.
Closed captioning provided by Athena Moberg and CPTSDFoundation.org.
My name is Angie Atkinson, and on this channel, I offer free daily video coaching to help you discover, understand, and overcome narcissistic abuse in toxic relationships. I like to call it toxic relationship rehab. So if that sounds good to you, hit that subscribe button and let's get going. Having been in a relationship with a narcissist changes your entire life and in fact your entire self. But if you intentionally heal and you go through and grow through the process of healing and get yourself to that point where you're thriving, you might be ready to start dating again. And in that case, you might want to know exactly what to expect for yourself and for your partner. Assuming that you have found a safe partner at this point, there are certain issues you're going to face in that relationship. For example, number one, you're going to feel defensive sometimes when you shouldn't. What do I mean by this? Well, if you think about it, when you were dealing with a narcissist, the narcissist probably attacked you for every little thing. So anytime you made a simple request, like at a restaurant asking for no onions on your burger, your narcissist may have attacked you for that later. So any type of request that you make in the new relationship, you might subconsciously find yourself feeling a little defensive. Obviously, this can cause trouble with your new relationship, especially if that person isn't toxic, because they won't understand why you're defensive about something as simple as no onions on your burger. Now, once you're in that relationship, it might be helpful to explain to your new partner why you have those reactions, because in a healthy person, they might actually be able to help you work through them. However, I do suggest waiting until you're fully healed from abuse before you get into anything serious as far as relationships go. The next thing you might notice as a big problem in a new relationship is that you don't trust yourself, and as a result, you might also not trust your partner. Now, this could be related to having been cheated on by the narcissist and or having been gaslighted by the narcissist on a consistent basis. You just might not know which end is up, and as a result, you become hypervigilant, and you question yourself, and you question your partner. And of course, this can be difficult for the partner as well as yourself during the relationship. So how do you deal with it? Well, the first thing you can do is take a deep breath and think before you speak. It goes so far beyond that. And again, I'm going to refer back to what I said last time. You've got to heal first. Think about it like this. Your ex was constantly gaslighting you. You were being emotionally abused and otherwise, in some cases, your entire world has been spun. You didn't get any validation. So what you must do is work on finding your intuition and learning how to trust it again. And personally, I think that's something that you should be doing before you get into a relationship. However, something really important to note here is that doing it before your relationship is great, but it's a lot easier to trust yourself when you don't have other people around you. So my point is that you may feel like you totally trust yourself and your intuition, but then find that when you get into a new relationship, you don't. So it's really important to be aware of that and do your very best to stay focused on trusting your intuition, not becoming hypervigilant and paranoid, but just giving that person the chance that they deserve, assuming they're a healthy partner. Eventually, you're going to have to work through it all and stop questioning yourself and your partner. Another thing I've heard people say is that in a new relationship, they might find themselves feeling more paranoid, more worried, more anxious when they haven't connected with their partner in a few days, especially when we're talking about a newer relationship early in. Speaking of hypervigilance, this brings me to my next point. When you're in a new relationship after an abusive one, you might find yourself having some irrational reactions to things. And you might be hypersensitive about certain things. For example, if you were name-called in the last relationship, even a playful name might offend you. Or you might jump down someone's throat just because they somehow triggered you by doing something that reminded you of the ex. For example, one of my clients once told me that her ex screamed at her because she put his shoes on to take the trash out one day and asked what she thought she was doing. So later in another relationship, she was going to run outside for a quick minute and her boyfriend said, "Hey, just slip on my slippers, no big deal." And she went ballistic because he offered his slippers, where in the last case when she put on her boyfriend's shoes, she was attacked for something so small. So the reason that happened is because when you constantly live your life on the edge of destruction, on the edge of feeling like you're about to lose your mind, that constant tension that you experience, well, it takes a big toll on you and your body and your mind. See, the thing is that when you're in that situation, your default mode is, I'm expecting you to attack me. any romantic partner, you expect them to attack you. And that's why you kind of end up reacting irrationally to really normal behavior. In a relationship with a narcissist, you lived in fear many times. That leads you to become increasingly sensitized to any potential danger around you. And so, of course, you're hypervigilant, you're anxious, you're nervous all the time. That type of reactionary behavior where you're kind of hypersensitive to everything, kind of, you know, listening really closely to the tone of their voice, watching their face closely, that stuff is all related back to narcissistic abuse. It's second nature for you now. So it's difficult to drop it. It's important, though, that you work on trying. Again, if you're in a relationship with someone who isn't willing to work with you on this, you might need to step back until you clear this stuff up for yourself. Another issue for survivors of abuse in new relationships, insecurities. This is one that I can definitely relate to. In my first marriage, I was completely destroyed when it came to my self-esteem. I had none when I was done. I did everything I could to be good enough for this person, who it turns out wasn't good enough for me. But in the process of that, I found myself completely lost. I had no self-esteem. I had no ability to even consider myself remotely good enough for anyone or anything. So 4 years later, when I met my current husband, I found myself being very insecure in the relationship. I felt jealous. I felt hypersensitive, hypervigilant. It's exhausting. Thankfully, I'm past it, and it's such a beautiful thing to be past it and understand my value. But I want the same thing for you as well. And I got lucky in this case that my husband tolerated that until I got over it. He even tried to help me work through it. This might be because in some cases our exes said to us, you know what, you're not good enough for anyone. You should probably just not date anybody in the future, or not go out with people, or not be in relationships. Or maybe your ex said to you, you know what, you're incredibly damaged. I cannot do this anymore. Or you're just too broken to be in a relationship. They might comment throughout the entire relationship on all the things that are wrong with you. And what you might not know is that tearing down your self-worth, beating you up emotionally, making you feel like you're worthless, well, that's one of the ways they got you to stay around as long as you did. And so when you recognize that is a manipulation tactic, that is not who you are, that is not anything to do with you. Certainly they picked on insecurities that you had, that maybe you felt a little overweight, so they talked about how fat you were, or maybe you felt like you didn't have a good enough job, or you weren't good at something, and then they would always find that thing and pick on it, right? Well, their picking is exaggerated. They don't mean the things they're saying, but they say them because they want you to doubt yourself and be too scared to leave. In fact, some narcissists even say,
you know what? Nobody will ever love you because you're worthless.
Or no one but me would take you anyway. Something like that, because what it does is it makes you scared to leave. And combined with all the other crap that they're putting you through, this is pretty effective. But that's one of the hard parts about recovery, is that even when you're out of that relationship, their voice is still in the back of your head, driving you crazy, making you feel nuts. So we have to learn to silence those voices. One little quick exercise I will tell you about. Pattern interrupt is a great way to actually end those voices. And one thing I find kind of fun to do, a lot of my clients have enjoyed it, is imagine that person sitting in a chair in the back of your head. And imagine a little tiny version of yourself crawls up your neck, walks into your head, and pushes that person in that chair right out of your brain, out your nose. And then what I like to tell my clients is go blow your nose and throw that thing in the trash. Because that is kind of a way that you can visualize literally pushing that person out of your head. And of course, the other thing that works really well for me in this situation is to have an affirmation that I repeat to myself anytime I have a negative thought that most likely is a remnant of the voice of the narcissist in my life. My particular affirmation is, I now cancel that thought and replace it with this affirmation of my true divine desire. And then at that point, first of all, I've had to think of the sentence. Then I make a point of thinking of something that I'm grateful for, whether it's related to whatever I was thinking about or not. So if I was thinking to myself, oh my God, I'm too ugly to do this, I can either tell myself I'm pretty, or I can tell myself I'm really grateful that I have a beautiful home to live in and my children are healthy. Whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be anything to do with a problem. It just has to be something more positive than what you were thinking before. So you have to understand that even when you are healed, when you're with a new partner, you might experience a lot of these things. You might find yourself, like I said, doubting yourself, having flashbacks or panic attacks, even developing compulsive behaviors like eating or gambling or drinking or whatever. This would be an effort to try to, of course, regulate your emotions. You might feel depressed, angry. Your communication might be more complicated with a new partner, because despite the fact that they might reassure you over and over again, you might feel like you can't really accept the love because you don't really believe it. You might live with lingering doubts about their faithfulness, especially if you were cheated on. You might often assume that your partner's against you when they're not. You might find it really hard to address any conflict in the relationship and have a really hard time talking about it with your partner. You might find yourself withdrawing or just being distant from them because it's easier for you than to be close to them. Because with a narcissist, what did you have to do? You had to go gray rock. Well, in a healthy relationship, gray rock isn't good. And of course, you might have really serious reactions to things, like I said, that most people wouldn't. A couple things you can do as a couple if you're already in that relationship. You can look into trauma-informed therapy or even couples coaching, depending on the level of CPTSD or narcissistic abuse syndrome that you think you're dealing with. One more thing I want to share with you on this is that when you are in a new relationship, and even before you get to one, self-care is so important. It's necessary. And one of the things that I think that has been a huge toxicity killer for me is that I learned how to love myself unconditionally. Well, that starts with accepting yourself unconditionally. So my suggestion to you is to focus on taking care of your physical self, your emotional self, and to work on unconditional self-acceptance. And then learn about what you're dealing with, what you're doing right now while you're watching this video. Make sure you understand what you've gone through. Make sure you understand the healing process and that you have gotten to the point in the healing process where you really are ready for a new relationship before you jump into one. Always take things slowly and never put yourself under pressure in these situations. The right person will wait for you if you ask them to go slowly. Take your time, love yourself, trust yourself. All right, now this brings me to the question of the day. And the question of the day is, have you moved into a new relationship after an abusive one? And how did that turn out for you? And if you haven't, what are your thoughts about all of this? Do you think it's possible to be happy in a future relationship? Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comment section below, and let's talk about it. I want to say a really sincere, heartfelt thank you to each and every one of you who subscribes to my channel, shares my videos, likes my videos, comments on my videos. You are all part of my Spanily, and I am so grateful for each of you. Thank you so much. It means the world to me. I can't express my gratitude enough. Honestly, thank you. And while I'm at it, I just want to offer a quick shout out to my amazing channel members, the people who support me through the YouTube channel membership program. Their support allows me to continue to make videos for you every day and to grow my mission to help survivors of narcissistic abuse discover, understand, and overcome the abuse, and then to evolve into the self that they've always wanted to be and to create the lives that they want. This means the world to me because it is literally my life's mission. Thank you so much, Inner Circle. My inner circle includes Kimberly, Jen, Trisha, Stacy, T-Bear, Sylvia Rose, Thoy, Victoria, Julie, Patty, La Precious, Beautiful Purpose, Abraham, Chantel, Ashley, Carrie Ann, Charity, Steph, Dana, Mo Cowboy, Shay, Christina, Ray Ray, T, Christy, Boku, Alda, Smith & Wesson, Ms. Lisa, Martha, Freedom Lee, Mindy, Lynn, Marsha, Linnell, Phoenix, Cherie, Alice, Carrie, Angel, Bible News Radio, Linda, Charlie, Laura, Pierlala, Janet, Paul, Delilah, Sarah Lee, Marlene, James F., Trisha, Life's Revival, Lorenzo, Deborah, Roxanne, Susan, and my very first supporter, Angela Falsetta. Thank you. Again, I just want to say thank you so much for hitting that join button. Your support really does mean a lot to me. Again, thank you so much. That's all I've got for you right now. But as always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm leaving for you right there and right there. And while you're here, hit that subscribe button so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.